It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network on this December 17th, 1 week from Christmas Eve. And, of course, it'll be a very festive week down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Ben Botham's with me. Brad Richardson, Ray Kennedy will come back. Great conversation with Tom Gribben. I want to thank Ray Kennedy for taking over the mic there for about 10 minutes. But you guys weren't at a lack for any conversation, that's for sure, right?
No, yeah, he was a great guy. Great conversation, and really interesting, you know, going from law to music and all over the place. And we didn't really even get to touch on his book too much, but hopefully next time he's in, we can touch on
it. Yeah, we're going to do a book signing, actually. And like I said, St. Pete's most interesting man. When I saw his bio, I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, he was a top tenor in Europe, which is pretty darn cool, and said his song was banned in England because of some riots that were going on at the time, and his song talked about the area where it was going on. So he's got a lot of really cool stories, and we really look forward to having him on again.
Exactly.
And definitely having him talk about, you know, sports within the area, plus the good old days of Clearwater and St. Pete, definitely, you know, brings back memories. So that's really one thing I got to say, just to hear about different places that were, you know, around and all, and now how much everything's changed.
You guys get to hang around with old men telling stories, but you're a historian. You appreciate them.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that, Mike. You know, I'm a big fan of anybody that'll talk about the history of sports or even our hometown here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up here. My mom is actually born and raised here, so she knows all that stuff. So,
you know what I do really like? I remember last year I had these guys on. Look at that car pulling in for a little Christmas cheer.
Wow.
I think I've got Santa coming by here a little in this hour, and he's got a Packard, an old Packard with a big Santa Claus on the back. So we'll have a little fun and entertainment there. All right. Let's see. What time do we have? We'll talk to David Sevier here in a minute, but let's start with topics. Your favorite story of 2022?
I'd probably have to say it's the baseball card that sold for $12.6 million.
Is that the Mickey Mantle?
The 1952 Topps Mickey Mantle. It was from the big Mr. Mint find. He sent it to SGC and graded a 9.5 and sold for $12.6 million. It is the most expensive sports card ever sold.
All right. So you obviously are a collector. Now, let's say I start collecting, or I just happen to go to a garage sale.
Yeah.
And I find it in mint.
A 1952 Mickey Mantle card?
An impossibility. A diamond in the rough.
It probably
is. Where do I go then?
You would probably want to go get that in some kind of protective holder. A nice
first and foremost, yeah.
And then in a top loader, if not like a screw down or something. And then you'd probably want to drive right down to SGC, which is in Sarasota, which is a grading company right below.
They're worldwide, national. That's what I'm saying. Where do I go? The big boys, the play.
You either want to go SGC or PSA. Those are going to be the two best. SGC is really close, and they're a little bit cheaper as well. And I think that vintage cards look a lot better in an SGC holder. They call it the tuxedo finish because it's an all-black holder. Around the card and really makes vintage cards with their unique coloring kind of pop a lot more than the PSA holders, which is kind of a clear holder with a little bit of texture involved in it. So I really don't like PSA for vintage cards.
Now, in your Ben Botham collection, what's your most prized card? I know it's four figures.
So it's the 1953 Topps Willie Mays card.
Wow.
Yes, I recently picked that up at a card show. I was very happy to get that. And speaking of Willie Mays, yesterday in this day in history, in 1954, Willie Mays was awarded the inaugural MVP award. And that year he batted .345 with 41 homers and 110 RBIs, completely dominating the league, blowing Mickey Mantle out of the water for that season. So,
and do you still believe he's the greatest player of all time?
Without a doubt.
Oh yeah.
You have to look at it. Willie Mays, excuse me. He, first of all,
I'm on your side. I want to hear.
He played a year in the Negro Leagues. Then, of course, he had a year or two in military service, and then played for well over 20 years. And one of the toughest ballparks as well. He was playing in the Polo Grounds, which center field measured like 500 feet.
Well, San Francisco wasn't any better right there in the Bay. I was at that park.
Exactly. And so you have to look at all the environment that he played in, the caliber of a player he was, tracking down balls. I mean, the catch, is, you'll never forget about that. It's something they still show on TV, the images of it as well. Tops even.
It was unheard of at that point.
Yeah, unheard of.
And now these youngsters, you know, they do some semblance of it, but for him to do it at that time period in time.
In that ballpark, a ballpark where he was running down center field, where in any other ballpark in the league, that would have been a home run easy. And so he was able to track that ball down, throw it in, something that Barry Bonds was not able to do in the 1992 NLCS elimination game. So, you know, just a little kind of
you're an anti Barry Bonds guy. I know that.
I definitely am. Yeah. Anybody that
well, so am I.
So,
all right. So that's your favorite, your number one story.
Yeah, either that or maybe Aaron Judge hitting 62 home runs. That was really neat.
During the playoffs. But
there is a little ripple in that. I know I hinted at this last week that Major League Baseball, according to some independent research, has been found to have used three separate baseballs this year.
Yeah, you did tell me that on the phone. Yeah. So what happens there?
So this is one of the most under-talked about stories in sports right now, is that there has been some research by a fellow SBAR researcher. She found out that they were using three different balls. They were using the dead balls that Rob Manfred has been talking about, saying this is the standard, this is what we are using. Then there was the balls from the live balls that were flying and going everywhere that players were talking about. These are crazy. They're all juiced. And then the most recent ball, which is what she termed the Goldilocks ball. It was more heavy than the dead balls. So the ball flew a little bit, but it wasn't as heavy as the juice balls. And these balls were found to be used at Yankee Stadium, at the All-Star Games, and during special events like the 50th anniversary for the Texas Rangers and a few other specially branded baseballs.
All right, we'll get back to this. Right now, let's quickly convert over to our Body Armor Prep Connection conversation with Coach Chevier, the King High Lions District Coach of the Year, one of my favorite guys. What's going on, my man?
How's it going, Mike? What's going on?
Just another beautiful day down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, 13th and Central. It's today's like being from Iowa. This is just like a nice late October day here. You know, got people bundled up and they'll be in parkas by next week. But just a perfect day, a week away from Christmas Eve. And you have a lot to be thankful for this year. Made the districts and made the playoffs, and now you're the Coach of the Year. Bravo and congratulations, man.
Yeah, it's been real special. I mean, I've been kind of run ragged. We're already into wrestling season, and I'm out here at a car wash right now, promoting my sport and trying to get all my kids some money. It's been real special to get the success we had, just because these kids really deserve it. You know, they're not used to having it. Some of them were pretty afraid of it, and just to see the kids come out and really perform and really buy into what I was selling them in the beginning of the year. And it's just real special to watch them come out and accept finally that they do belong. And that's something that's just real special.
Well, and since you've gotten there, your numbers have gone up considerably. And now you have a JV team as well, correct?
Yeah, it's going to spill from one sport to the other. So from football, we went from having 30 kids to 58. And now with wrestling, I went from 32 kids, and now I now have 48 kids in my wrestling room.
48 kids in a wrestling room?
Yeah. I don't know what to do with all these kids. It's a freaking huge problem to have.
I really applaud you. And I'm somehow going to get my good friend Dan Gable, the Iowa legend and basically the godfather of wrestling.
Yes, sir.
To somehow join a show with me, and I'll get you and some of your wrestlers down here, because Dan would be damn proud of you. I'll tell you that right now, my man.
I'd be honored for that. I mean, that guy's a legend.
Well, between he and Cale Sanderson, I'll get one of them to call in after the holidays. Let's just plan on getting some of your wrestlers over here, some of the seniors, give them some recognition, and I'll make sure we get one of those legends on the line. So
we would be honored.
Were you a wrestler yourself?
Yeah, I wrestled in college. I wrestled for Pittsburgh University of Pittsburgh and Slippery Rock University.
Oh, see, I being a Pennsylvanian, you're happier in hell that Cale Sanderson's at Penn State. He bailed on Iowa State.
Yeah. That's
and,
right.
they built an incredible facility, and now they're one of the powers in America.
Facts. And watching him wrestle, I mean, I got to see him wrestle a few times while I was competing. And I'll tell you, the guys I talked to that wrestled that guy, it was like being moves and moves ahead. He was just so far ahead of people. But he was just very gracious. I mean, from what I understand, anytime anybody, he beat anybody, it was never a cockiness to him. And that's something I think followed him to Penn State.
Yeah, he's a great human being. He was from Utah. He wasn't from Iowa. Came to Iowa State, and propelled that program, and then of course got the Olympic gold medal, which I've been fortunate to hold. But just a humble guy, never in your face, like you said.
Yeah,
he's great for the sport.
Absolutely. I mean, he had a few brothers play for him. Wrestled at Iowa State too, I believe.
Well, we had two brothers wrestling at Iowa, the Brands brothers, and they're the coaches. And I do think that he had kids that were brothers on the Iowa State team. So explain this to me. How do you recruit in Tampa?
Honestly, I don't think I even do.
Be careful with that word, Mike.
No, I mean recruit out of the hallways. How do you recruit them?
Okay, yeah.
How do you recruit them to come and get in a wrestling room?
Well, first of all, I mean, to kind of, clarify what was just, that scary word of recruiting. And that's something that I will openly say, I don't ever do that. And the reason why I say that is because I really believe if you recruit outside of your halls and outside of your school, you're telling the kids that are on your campus, they're not good enough. And I think that's something my kids have already heard. And that's something where I'm trying to do the opposite. And I'm trying to give kids an opportunity to see that you may not be a football player, but you can wrestle. You may not be a wrestler, but you can be a football player. And I think if kids see that stuff, they just understand that somebody is taking a shot on them. And that's something that I've always thought as a teacher that you just need to do. You need to give kids a shot. So sometimes, even if that kid has a 1.9 GPA, and sometimes taking that shot on a kid propels them into doing what they want to do, and then it fixes the academic side of it. So the way I really, my plan is just simple, kind of just treating the kids right, always treating them like my own children. My kids are always here. You saw my kids when I've been over to you a few times, and the kids really see that I don't treat them any differently than I treat my own. And I think the kids love that. I mean, especially at King, we have a lot of kids that are single, single parent homes, and to have somebody in their life that is going to treat them and hold them accountable, I think that just speaks volumes of it. I don't ever try to convince kids to do it. I always just say, with wrestling, give me a week. And if you don't like it after a week, no harm, no foul. You can, we can part ways. And I say the same thing with football. And honestly, the kids talk on the campus. And I think that's something that's really been the success is, with wrestling specifically, a lot of the kids have done a lot of the recruiting for me. And the kids just start showing up, and I just try to make it fun. Like, we try to play dodgeball once a week, try to play what I call wrestling chess with a bunch of kids that, it's basically who's the strongest guy on the mat type of thing. And it's just, we try to make athletics fun because both sports that I coach, they are a grind. And if we have to make that grind fun, because you can't just beat kids up all day.
Well, one thing I will say, this is Brad Richardson, by the way. I work with the Prep Connection here at the Tampa CP Sports Connection. And what I always say with any coach is that whatever their program they're trying to put in, if you promote it enough within the school and everything that you tell these kids, they will buy in. If they see a positive outlook from any coach on the team, whether it goes from the head coach to the assistant coach, those kids, whether they've played very little football or anything sports-wise within their time, both in middle school and now going into high school, they will want to be a part of it. They're going to want to be a part of something special. And that's what really 100% sells these kids.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's something that a lot of kids really saw with the wrestling program, because when I first started, we had 13 wrestlers.
and that was 4 years ago. And as you heard before, I'm up to 48. And in a sport like wrestling, and I know Mike can attest to this because he knows wrestling, to have 48 kids on your roster is huge. I mean, I'm probably not going to finish the season with 48 kids, but they're here and they're coming. And I haven't really had many kids quit. And it's something that's, you know, as the practices get harder and harder, you'll start seeing kids fall off. But I just think having the fact that I can pull in that many kids is huge. And I think it's just a testament to our kids just recruiting and just me staying as consistent as I can be.
Well, I do know one thing. College football coaches absolutely love football players that are wrestlers. And you don't have to look any further than Tristan Wirfs over for the Bucks. He was a state champion in Iowa wrestling. Right. He was a shot put champion, the discus. I mean, he's just an athlete, but he was one hell of a wrestler. I can tell you what, I've watched a lot of footage of him as a heavyweight.
Oh, that was Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was all state in both football and wrestling.
Oh, yeah, Ray Lewis, yeah.
Yeah. Well, my man, I know you're in the middle of a fundraiser. I just wanted to take a few moments so I could recognize you and applaud you for your District Coach of the Year and everything you're doing over there at King and the rebuilding process. Bravo, man. And your three wild men, tell them Merry Christmas and your bride. It's a family affair over there at King, I know, in your house and in the wrestling room and at the football field. It's definitely a family affair, man.
Yes, it is. And, Mike, I really appreciate the publicity you guys have been able to offer us. The kids enjoy coming out there, and it's cool to see a couple of kids come a couple of times, and you can see how more comfortable they get as they move on. So I really appreciate you having us on.
All right. Merry Christmas, man.
Yes, you too, buddy. Thank you.
All right. And that's why we do that, fellas. Pee-wee's the Preps and Pros, a positive perspective. He's got, you couldn't hear, right? He's got, we're a king. He's got 48 kids out for wrestling. He had 13 when he first got there.
Wow.
You weren't down here when those guys came over. And a lot of those kids had never been across the bay. And he started, they had 17 kids on the team, football team.
Yes.
And now he's got 56. He's got a JV team. They didn't have a JV team. It's a soft district, but I don't care. They won the district.
Nice.
And he's the district coach of the year, and bravo.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I'm going to say, too, about wrestling is that it's obviously, yes, it's going to be a team sport, but really it is a sport that solely is focused on you.
It's an individual sport, man.
You have to work your hardest to win that meet, that match.
Yeah, my brother was a state champ, 98 pounds. That's the beauty of it. Guys that little can get involved. All right, before we go to break, so your top two stories were Aaron Judge and a $12.5 Mickey Mantle card.
$12.6 million.
Oh, I'm sorry.
$19.52.
I didn't mean to minimize the dollar amount.
Yes.
$12.6 million. And so that's baseball Ben Botham. I'm going to go to you, Brad Richardson, and then when we come back segment, because I know Ray's probably got a 2 pages of them at the top of his head.
So you want to know mine?
Yes.
Obviously, Aaron Judge. That's one of them, definitely, for sure. I have to agree with Ben on that one. So, and then the other one for me, and it's more of a personal thing, and also with dealing being an alumnus of USF, our new USF football coach. So, obviously, we've seen a lot of...
What do you think of him?
You know, I think when you bring... It's one thing about this coach is that he's... I mean, there were names being tossed around for who would be the new USF coach. There was a lot of them being tossed.
John Gruden.
Deion Sanders.
I mean, those were all pipe dreams. We know that.
Deion was one of the ones I was very surprised about, to be honest.
So. It was a pipe dream.
Yeah, exactly.
It seemed like it was close. They were saying that he would have a hand in the stadium. Weren't they talking about that?
Well, he'd have to offer him a hell of a lot more than that. You ever been to Boulder?
No, I haven't.
I've been in that stadium a dozen times. Mm-hmm. It's a mecca. The biggest problem is they had really, really liberal administration didn't believe that the football program was that important. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, liberals. The bottom line is this. You know, it's a kumbaya campus, and my son lives right outside there, and I've been there many, many times.
Yeah,
reality is those dollars can contribute to help in all programs, and it's even at the private school level.
Yeah.
When you see the sports teams going down at the Christian schools, the Catholic schools, you see the contributions go down.
Yeah.
Fact of life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, that would probably be the one I was really, you know, surprised to see and all that. But getting back to what your question was, is that, you know, he's a young coach. He's up and coming, you know. Again, it's about bringing in a new perspective and having the kids buy into the program and seeing a change turn around. And luckily with college, you can go and recruit all over the place and sell what you can sell to bring in those kids and all. And I'm curious to see what he's going to do. So,
well, so are USF fans. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll continue this. We're going to take a look back at 2022 when some of the, and like I said, Ray's just chomping at the bit over there listening to some jams. We'll be back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill on a great Christmas week and a Christmas festive environment down here in downtown St. Pete.
First quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
This is Mike Rickard, and I personally want to welcome our new supporter and partner, my Iowa friend, Barb with Champa Bay. Barb Grossenheiner is with First Class Real Estate Gulf to Bay, and Barb brings her Midwest work ethic, her integrity, her commitment to every client, combined with her knowledge as she grew up in a family of home construction success for decades. Barb's energy and her bubbly personality take the stress out of the challenge of home buying in today's difficult market. I assure you, I've recommended her to my friends, and I look forward to spreading her professional service to all of Champa Bay. So reach out today with Barb from Champa Bay, barbwithchampabay@gmail.com, or give her a call at 813-564-4134. That's Barb with Champa Bay. Give her a call today, 813-564-4134.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Merry Christmas show from the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm Mike Rickard. We are live at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Each and every week, bringing you a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros down here at Ferg's. And, of course, we got great sponsors. We've got Shrimpy's Waterfront, Big Storm, and, of course, Body Armor with all of our high school conversations, if I could speak properly. And, of course, Sea Dogs and Ice Pick Vodka, and expanding our relationship with Coca-Cola in 2023. So we're moving fast and furious. We got a lot of announcements down the road, some things I've been working on that will propel this production further than it is now, and much further into the future.
As we get back.
USF.
USF and Aaron Judge. Yeah, I'd say that.
Okay. All right. All right, Ray Kennedy. I know. We're going to start it, and I want to talk to a high school coach, and then we're going to wind down for the last 15 minutes, all of us doing a little Christmas thing, but yours.
Okay, so it's not my feel-good story. It's not my personal favorite, but the biggest story for me all year, because I did 20,000 live views in less than a seven-day period, was obviously, and it stretched out over 40 days, was the retirement and then unretirement of one Mr. Tom Brady. That literally, I was live when he retired, did 10,000 views, and then I did 5,000 from out back here right by where the ship is now at Ferg's down here, because that was big news. So from a standpoint of media talk and everything, that was the biggest story for me in 2022.
Well, I think it might have been the biggest story of the year overall in Tampa Bay.
And then a divorce. I'm kidding. Yeah. I don't care about the divorce.
Yeah, no one cares about that. No.
Nobody said Lightning made to the Stanley Cup. No, we didn't say anything positive.
They lost.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, we turned into Tampa Bay losers. Rays made it to the playoffs. I mean, yes, most markets, that's a success. Look at Ben Baseball Botham over there.
I might be rolling my eyes a little bit because we need to get a World Series.
I got to know about Eflor. I got to know what your thoughts are on that signing there, Ben. I'll get with you off the air on that, or maybe
bum knees.
Okay.
Bum knees.
Okay, here's one thing I'll say. Actually, there is another story, and this, of course, is he's a friend of mine, and, of course, he's an alumni of Seminole High School. Obviously, Brett Phillips getting DFA'd and going to Baltimore. That was, for me, that was a hurtful one, but it's also for this area. I mean, he was a standout.
All right, we got to switch gears real quick. I want to talk to this gentleman, Andy Wood. He is the head track and field coach at, what do you hear these numbers? At Jesuit, the Tigers. And I have a little passion for the great sport of track and field, so let's talk to him, and then we'll come back to wind our show down. Andy, how are you, my man?
Good, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Great. I appreciate you taking a little time, and I understand you're busy today, but as far as I'm concerned, a lot of the audience probably doesn't agree, but I don't care what time of year it is, we can talk some track and field, right?
Absolutely. It's always track season.
Exactly. So let's talk about your journey to Jesuit. You've been there, I believe you said, 12 years. Is that correct?
This will be year 13 for me as far as the track season. But yes, I've been at Jesuit now for 13 years.
Now, one question I do have, and then I'll let you continue. You know, incredible success on the football field. State champs last year, you know, perennial power in the state and in the region. And back in the day, it used to require the football players to go out for track. And down here in Florida, obviously, spring football is a big factor. Do you run up against that a lot? Do the high school coaches want? Do they want their kids participate in track, especially the sprinters?
Mike, I think it really depends on the actual football coach himself. We're very fortunate at Jesuit. We have Matt Thompson as our head football coach, and he's a former track coach himself. So I think he understands the value of it. So he loves his 7-on-7 and his spring football as much as anybody else, but he also understands the fact that those guys need to get faster as well to be able to compete at the highest level like we've been able to do the last 9-10 years.
Yeah, and there's no even if they're not going to compete, there's no better way to improve your speed than learn fundamentally, you know, the mechanics of track and field.
Absolutely. There's a lot of technique to being able to run fast, that's for sure.
Okay, so let's talk about the numbers. The numbers that you have out just blew me away for track.
Yeah, consistently we have about 85 to 95 guys. You know, we're an all-boys school, as everyone knows, but we have about 85, 95 guys on our roster, which makes for, you know, a lot of guys to manage, but I have a great staff. I have a staff of about 6 full-time coaches that are with me. So we have a distance group, a couple distance coaches, and a sprint coach, a couple sprint coaches, and I coach the throwers, and we have 2 guys that coach our pole vaulters, and a separate coach that coaches the hurdlers and the jumpers. So my staff is obviously the key to having and managing 85 guys. So it makes for, you know, sometimes a circus out there, but it's a well-managed circus.
Well, I'm certain it is. And when do you begin competition down here in Florida as far as the actual meets? And do you do it? Do you do any indoor meets? Do you travel north to any indoor meets? There's no reason to, right?
Not really. There are some more guys that do AAU track. You know, some more guys that compete at that former competition, and they do some indoor meets, but most of our guys, you know, they're coming off of football, so that's where we get a large percentage of our athletes from. So they typically get that time off for the holidays, and then we'll start with some conditioning in January, and then we have our first official meet the beginning middle of February.
And when does it wind down? Right about football season.
Correct. Yes. The FHSA now has us going to usually the first or second week in May. So we sometimes, depending on how many of our guys qualify for states, some of those guys will have to do kind of double duty between spring football and the end of track season.
How's this 2023 team look like? You got a lot of depth. I know you're one of the few teams that has strength in the field events, and that's important to win. Track meets, and you got individual stars as well.
Yeah, we have a couple guys that are coming back that are going to be a senior. Devin Stevens is our top 800 meter runner. We're looking for him to go 156 this year in the 800, which would be a big PR for him, and you know, get him looked at some of the college coaches. We have a junior. His name is Donovan Terry. He's gone 10-8 in the 100 and 22 low in the 200, and he's also gone 48 low in the 400. So he's probably our top returning sprinter. We have Oscar Lauk, who's going to probably come close to breaking our school record in the pole vault. That's his goal this year. Our school record is 15 feet, 6 inches, which was done by Nick Ketcher about 4 or 5 years ago. So Oscar's on pace to break that this year. So that's his goal, and he's a senior this year. So those are top three guys kind of returning back. We got a ton of depth, too. Our 4x1 team last year broke the school record in the 4x1, and they're looking to break their own record again this year. We actually have Troy Bowles that was on that 4x1. He's going to be on this 4x1 again this year. Troy, as you know, is a top recruit. He's going to the University of Georgia to play linebacker. So, you know, you talk about speed and being able to compete to the next level and how much track benefits that. Well, Troy has been a guy that has definitely benefited from his time with track and field with us.
How tall is Bowles?
I think he's about 6'1", 6'2", to be. I'm almost tall.
That kind of speed, and obviously he's going to Georgia, the top program in America. He's just got it, and I can't remember. Oh, I was talking to Pete Young last week, and he said that if Bowles could have played any position, skill position on that football team, and now you tell me that he's on a 4x1. That's very impressive.
Yeah, he is one of our, in my time at Jesuit, he's probably one of our top athletes. That I've had the fortune of coaching and being a part of coaching, and then obviously watching play football for us as well.
Well, I tell you what, I look forward to having you come over and bring some of the kids so we can have some fun sometime in the future. I know you got a busy schedule. I appreciate you taking a few moments to share with us. I'll try to get over to a meet. When are the meets typically in the weekdays?
Yes, we typically go Tuesday or Wednesday nights. We usually start at 6 p.m. and we're trying to get out of there by 9:15.
And you said you had Arian Knighton, the phenom. He was training on your facility for quite some time.
Yes, his private coach is one of my assistant coaches. So he works with our sprinters. His a sprint coach. So for our sprinters, last couple seasons, to be able to watch Arian and see how he trains and, you know, to be a part of that and be a part of his journey, it's been pretty special for our sprinters. You know, and our kids just in general. And Arian has done a great job of sharing his passion for track and field with our kids. You know, he's not one of those kids that, you know, is standoffish or anything along those lines. If a kid comes up to him and wants to talk to him about track and field or just about the things he's doing to get better, Arian has always been willing to share that knowledge. So, you know, Arian's a great kid. We're very happy for him. He's one of our adopted sons over here at Jesuit. So we're happy that all the success he has this past track season and hoping for more this upcoming track season on his professional level.
It's great to hear that he's a role model like that, and a big contributor to your world as well. All right, my friend, well, you have a very Merry Christmas. It's a pleasure meeting you. I'm looking forward to developing a relationship with the track and field program. My three guys here, they don't look too excited about it, but the reality is track rules as long as the old man rules. So,
absolutely.
We'll be talking, okay, man?
I appreciate your time, Mike, and thanks again for talking track and field.
Well, one thing I want to say real quick is that my dad actually
he's the voice of the Seminole
Warhawks. Anyway, my dad, when he grew up in Pittsburgh, Brentwood area, he actually he did discus and javelin when he was in high school. So and javelin, I don't recall. I mean, you can correct me on this. Is javelin still done, or has that kind of been kind of limited down now?
I think we lost Andy.
I think we lost.
I'll research him, but. I had heard at one time that you were the javelin catcher at Seminole. Javelin. Is that correct?
The javelin catcher. Wait, what's that? Yeah, Coach Ben, what nickname did those guys give me?
Coach said, hey, we got a spot for you, Bradley. You're going to be the javelin catcher out there. Good javelin. Luck, champ. All right, so let's go back to the stories that really you highlighted all year long on a Cup of Ray. And, of course, it was Tom Brady, number one.
That's a biggie.
That's a biggie.
Todd Bowles getting from Bruce Arians stepping back and Todd Bowles jumping in there. And we kind of knew all along that was eventually going to be the plan. We didn't think it was going to happen this year. And the question that still remains unanswered is, did Tom Brady and force him out of there? Or was it an actual mutual parting because Arians has some health concerns? And I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that yet, but stay tuned.
Well, did those health concerns come from that like battery pack he wore across his chest? Did you see when Darth he would
Vader.
Rock that?
Looked like Darth Vader, right?
I was like, there's no that is healthy for him. It's got to have like some radio waves or something going
through.
Yeah, Bruce Arians. Did you see it all last season? He would wear like a battery pack or some kind of electronic device.
The communications device, and he'd wear it across his chest because he couldn't wear it on his hips.
Yeah, and it just looked ridiculous. He looked like a...
Who cares?
I know, but
what
we're
they
talking,
look like.
I know, on, but man, they were saying health concerns, and I'm like, it's probably that thing that he had.
Yeah, radiation.
That's what I'm getting at.
Well, here's the thing, though. They said Tom Brady pushed him out. Bruce Arians been in the hospital twice in the last 3 years. He got over a little bit of cancer. He had a problem, a couple of years back. Got through that. He's been at the hospital since then with a little heart thing. I have it on good authority that he's spending two to three days a week over at the old memorial in Tampa. He likes to play around at golf, and he sits at the bar and has a couple of highballs. He's living his best life.
Exactly. Good
and
for
I
him.
Think that the offensive line injuries have made the Buccaneers offense struggle in 2022, and everybody's looking for a conspiracy theory. There is none here. It's just injuries to the O-line.
Okay. You didn't bring up the stadium issue. None of you.
Oh, that's so huge. But that's still
not
an answer, though.
It's not an answer.
Yeah, it's unanswered. It hasn't been talked about. It's been talked about, but it hasn't been solidified.
Okay. So that's all you got?
No. Let's see. Well, for me, the big baseball story, for me, the feel-good story, that's what I alluded to earlier when I said I didn't have one, was Albert Pujols getting to go home to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
What was it, 7,000 hits?
The 700th home run.
700. I'm sorry. That's how much I know about baseball, to be honest with the numbers. But he goes back to the Cardinals and does that. And that was always – I always knew Pujols as a Cardinal, even though he was an Angel and out west. That was a feel-good story for me.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing when Ken Griffey Jr. went back to Seattle. Same thing like that. You see a player go home, that's their home team, and that's how they finish.
Okay, so you're not going to give the Rays any kudos? Or if you want to go on Ben Botham's typical negative vein, the injuries, 20-some injuries during the course of the season.
That's our all-star trainer right there, Mike. He got a chance to go to the all-star game because what a wonderful job he did getting 20 guys on the IL. You know, just top-notch, just amazing. Send him there again. Leave him there, actually.
Can't believe they're not making a change there. I mean, there's got to be something. And whether it's that they want to protect their investment, Wander Franco, the hamstring issues. How can a guy continue to have hamstring issues? Solve them. Figure out what he's doing wrong. Do some analysis so that it's not recurring.
What about Kevin Kiermaier now being a Blue?
The mask clean out. Yeah, he's gone. G-Man.
I am so happy he's with them. You know how many more strikeouts that's going to be for us? That's going to be amazing. our pitchers are going to look great.
That's a picture right there for you, right?
I am so excited. This is the most
positive. I hope he comes back and kicks butt.
No, this is the most positive I've been on this show.
No,
is that our pitchers are going to be lights out to Kevin Kiermaier. He was a very subpar hitter, and the pitchers are going to make him.
But it's that defense in center field, that gold glove. That was his strength,
yeah,
right?
No, all right. Yeah, then, he had the defense in center field, but you got to think the guys didn't like him out there because he was taking the ball. He was taking balls that weren't his in the outfield, and I think that's going to cause some problems in Toronto because they're not going to put up with that because Toronto has some good guys on their team that are more than willing to stand up to Kevin Kiermaier.
He's just going to be a leader in the clubhouse. That's it. All right, we got to take our last quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll continue this conversation with the negative Ben Baseball Botham, the killer.
Mike, watch out behind you.
It's got to be Mac. We'll be back here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. Get the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Big Storm Brewing Company helps you weather any storm. From their award-winning Bramosa Tangerine IPA to their original Wavemaker Amber Ale, Big Storm has you covered. Give Florida's craft beer forecast a shot today and find out where you can get your Big Storm at BigStormBrewery.com. Enjoy an ice-cold Big Storm at tap rooms located in Clearwater, Orlando, Ybor City, and Odessa.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game-watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProCure bait super scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Sports Connection Radio Network. I'm Mike Rickard. Ben Botham, Baseball Botham, the negative one. Brad Richardson, the positive one.
The optimist.
And the roamer, wherever he went, Ray Kennedy. As we wind down 2022 on our last show, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, we just had an appearance by Santa Claus.
And Frosty.
And I haven't seen Frosty down here. This is his inaugural year.
Ray's over there taking pictures of him.
Yeah, and Frosty's asking tips for reindeer.
Oh my God!
Oh, and Mike, it looks like my prediction was pretty spot on. Indianapolis Colts are up 20-0.
Oh
on the
my
Vikings.
God! On the fraudulent Vikings.
The 10-3 Vikings. Are you kidding me? No,
not going to happen. All right, so you don't think Kiermaier will see much time?
No, I mean, I think he's going to be a starter, of course. I think they're going to use the guy, but I can't imagine him outperforming how he performed with the Rays. I mean, I think that was the peak of his talents. Was with us. He's a 210 hitter with, an above average, kind of glove in the outfield.
All right, Mike Zanino, if I can speak to me. Mike Zanino goes to the Cleveland Guardians. And
yeah, I know you're trying to be careful saying that.
No, I wasn't.
That was easy for him to say.
Yeah. Indians. There natives.
The Natives.
Warhawks.
Why couldn't we have called them the Natives? The Cleveland Natives. That's kind of cool. Better than Guardians.
I have no answer for that, but there's nothing wrong with it.
All right, so, Ray Kennedy, since you're out here all the time,
yeah.
What was the coolest thing that you saw down here at Ferg's this year?
I see a lot of crazy things out here, but it was so far it's been the World Cup soccer, which today was the third place game, and tomorrow, of course, is the finals between Madrid and France. To see so many people down here from not only different countries, but Americans watching these games and celebrating, it's like a side of soccer that I knew existed, I hadn't seen yet, and we got the 2026 games will be here in America, and the American team hopefully will be a lot stronger of a candidate, so it gives me pause for hope.
Well, a young team, I didn't know you could even talk any soccer.
I can't even hear myself say anything.
All right, okay, you're dying to do something over there.
Well, I was just wondering.
When he has the phone like that.
Well, I always have the phone.
Hey. He's got a factoid.
Well, I was wondering, did you see the payment deferment for Chris Davis for his contract?
No.
He is now the first player to have a contract that goes further than Bobby Bonilla.
Now, that was it. Yeah. Bobby Bonilla still getting money?
For the listeners who don't know, he last played in 2001. And has been receiving payments of $1.19 million every year since July 1st, 2011, all the way through 2035.
35?
Yes. But Chris Davis will be receiving payments all the way through 2037. Wow. So he will get $9.16 million a year from 2023 to 25, $3.5 million from 26 to 32, and $1.4 million from 33 to 37 for a grand total of $42 million.
All right, so let's do this. We'll start with Ray. What do you wish for in 2023? What would you like to see in the world of sports?
I'll start slow and say I wish to get a stadium 110% done here in Tampa Bay for our Rays. But I'm going to go further and say if I'm really looking for that secret gift in the back of the tree that Santa hides, I got to open last. It's to have a stadium right here in St. Petersburg where Major League Baseball is supposed to stay and let the people in all around the region start coming up here and enjoying some of this great life we have down here at the world-famous Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm on board with you. Bradley?
I have two. Okay.
Okay.
I'll agree with
yours. I'll give you two.
All right. I'll agree with yours, Ray. But the other one, Tom Brady no longer with the Bucs after the season.
Well, I don't think you're going to have to worry about that.
I don't think so either.
Do you?
I think we're going to still have success here in 2022, but I think the end of the line is coming for the 10-year here.
Yeah, I tell you what. We'll give you, Niners, we will give you Brady. We want Josh Purdy. Brock Purdy. Mm-hmm. The Iowa State cyclone.
Going for Iowa, you are.
That kid's a real deal. I watched him his freshman year. He's cool, calm, and collected.
I don't know how he became Mr. Irrelevant. There's at least three or four quarterbacks in the 2022 draft that I don't think had the guy's a winner.
And he's so cool, calm, and composed. That'd be calling John Lynch right now. Hey, Lynch, you owe us a favor, man. We put you in the Hall of Fame, whatever they call it, the circle. Give us Purdy. You can have TB12. That's a good trade.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't write out Tom Brady yet. All his top five biggest post or regular season losses, he has won the Super Bowl in every single one of them.
Every year, 5 years. And I'll tell you what, Jock Purdy, $300,000 is against the cap this year, $700,000 against the cap next year. In the fourth year of his rookie contract being Mr. Irrelevant, $1.1 million against the cap. You get Jock Purdy, but they're going to obviously pay him a little more. That gives the Frisco 49ers a lot of room to do a lot of creative things.
I tell you what, I think predictions. Super Bowl winner.
Bengals. I hate to say it, they're in town.
They got hot last year.
And, you know,
we're running out of time.
I'm going to hold out for hope. I mean, I'm going to say the Chiefs. All right, Kansas City.
Hold out for hope. Let's go old Tommy boy. He's got one last trick up his sleeve, the old Buccaneers.
Well, I love that hometown feeling, buddy boy.
Love you, Ben. I'll take one for
I mean,
the
he was
team.
Already racking on the Rays, but okay.
With baseball. Anyway.
fair enough.
I'm going with the Niners.
Not the Bills?
No.
Not the Packers? Oh, I can't go with the Packers.
Yeah. Come on. No. Come on.
Can you just respect me like that?
Let me flip it on you. What do you want? What's your secret wish, or what do you want Santa to leave under the tree for you in 2022?
Well, for my A team to stick around and to expand the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
There you go.
Those are all personal, and they are going to happen. But I would, not being a native here, I would love to see the Rays. Not because I have an office here, and Ferg and I are tight, joined to the hip. I just think it will be cool, embedded in the community right here in St. Pete, which is thriving. And I don't think the logistics are great, but I would have liked to see, you know, McCovey Cove type concept down there at L.A. That would have been cool, not realistic.
Yeah. Well, Mike, is that your grown-up Christmas wish, as the song says?
Yeah. Well, do I look like I'm grown up? Should have seen me last night at this party. Everybody's going nuts over what I'm wearing.
That comes to the house into discreet packaging for Christmas.
Well, I'm wearing this stuff, and I'm like, this is Walgreens. Walmart's finest. Mm-hmm. Walgreens' finest.
Oh, you should see the sweaters that are over in Spencer.
These boys gave these to me.
Oh, I like it. Sea dog.
Oh, wait till you see the back of it. Yeah, it's really cool. And, of course, the hat is Walgreens, the one that I took off. All right. Nothing but the best for the Christmas, Mr. Christmas. All right, so your two wishes. There's supposed to be one, but since I don't want you getting upset, you didn't get two.
Go ahead, Ben.
But as no surprise to everyone, you know, it's definitely having the Rays lock down a stadium in St. Petersburg. That's my biggest wish. Nice. If they do that, if they only get 60 wins next season and they lock down a stadium in St. Petersburg, I will go to sleep happy and I will sing their praises and say how great Stu is. And I don't care. As long as that stadium's there.
What about this for all of us as far as the Rays? I think if everybody has a season, their best season of their careers, that's the one of the best stables of arms in the bigs.
Unbelievable.
Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. They got a great
young arms.
It's going to look really good.
And I'll tell you what, I'll finish with this thought, since all of us have a little bit of a tie to the Rays getting a stadium here. I'll just say this. I'll leave these sports. As we finish our Christmas show here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, build it. And they will come.
Oh, yeah.
At least for the first couple of years out of curiosity.
No, they're going to keep coming because this is the best place to be. You want to be over here, over in Tampa, over at TIA, sucking fumes out of the airplane.
Yeah, exactly.
We got the bird. No, well, I'm just talking about, you've seen what our attendance numbers are. And then that's when Peter Gallenbach goes nuts.
Yeah, we got to.
We're not season ticket holders anymore. We're members.
Members.
What BS.
Well, here's one thing I got to say, too, with spring training coming up for the Rays and all that. God bless them when they do find a place to play and all that. I mean, obviously, what all happened in Fort Myers and everything. I can't wait to see where they're going to play and all that. So bless them when they do find a place, and bless everybody.
Well, I have a part-time gig with the Ted Williams Foundation this spring. Too bad you're a busy man. And I asked him point blank. I said, is it going to be across the street? And he told me yes. Dave McCarthy, who's the executive director, because they have the contract for 50-50s and all that stuff.
Sure.
At 10 parks, so it'll be cool. I might be sending you out some Saturdays.
I would be very down.
You'd
that.
Be in heaven. You'd be in Lakeland, Fort Myers. Well, no, yeah, Fort no, Fort Myers.
Fort Charles.
What happened to the Twins facility?
It must have just Ben's got the face for radio. I'm the deal closer. Where do I get to go?
Yeah. I think that's a stretch there.
He's baseball Ben.
He's got a beautiful face, too. I'm just kidding. I'm busting his chops.
You weren't even sure. I got to wind things up. You weren't even sure how many home runs freaking Pujols had.
7,000 hits.
7,000 hits. He just
talked about I know.
Wow. We got to wind it down.
Johnny B.
Toes. Tom Gribben. Coach Chevier, Andy Wood, Ben Botham, Ray Kennedy, Brad Richardson, Joe Boudreau, Big Ed, Matt on the controls up north. Thanking all you guys for our success this year. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. Have a great Christmas and New Year's. And be sure to have a championship week.